This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. It is World Water Day today, as you may have heard across the station. We've been covering it. And the theme for this year is valuing water. So we want to look at that quite literally and understand how it is that we've been putting a price tag on water, and does it need to change?
Yes. So the thing, that's the question, right? Like, how much we value water directly relates to how much of it we use. So when we talk about consumption and overconsumption, that leads back to the question of, if we charged more for the water, would people be more discerning with how they use it? But 90% of our water comes from rainwater in rivers and streams. And we actually produce in Malaysia, we actually produce nearly 17,000 million liters per day of treated water. I had to figure out how to say that. And the thing is, in comparison to a lot of the rest of the world, we're doing pretty well. We have 95.9% of our total population actually has access to treated water.
It's worth looking, though, within that context. So the agricultural sector uses approximately 67% of that. 90% of that 67%, this is just a sea of numbers, is to irrigate the paddy fields. And so the reason why I bring that up is because I think whenever it is that we talk about something like water, like nature, like climate change, it is always important to highlight both the issues that are systemic and to do with institutions and organizations and the like, and how much of it has to do with individual use.
Yes. And the thing, the what ends up happening when it comes to water usage is that a lot of these, a lot of the problems that end up being related to industry, right? Things like logging activities or the pollution of rivers and seas by industrial waste, sewage, agrochemical residue, sediment from agricultural areas. It really just goes on and on. So then it brings up this question of, when we do put that price tag on water, are we perhaps letting certain parts of our society get away with paying less than they really should be?
So we're going to be getting into that with Dato Abdul Kadir Mohamed Din, who's the president of the Malaysia Water Association. But we also want to know from you, do you think that we should be paying more for water? And would that mean that we value our water more? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Dato Kadir, it's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening.
So, how much is water right now? Has that price shifted a lot over the years?
Well, I talk about price of water in terms of amount of water being used is increasing. That I can say for sure. And the water supply coverage also has been increasing. But what has reduced is the water reserve margin. So when you talk about water, there are two types. One is raw, one is treated. I like what you say just now about the agriculture part. Agriculture belongs to the raw water side. They consume quite a lot, yes, and some part of it is being used for our domestic, and that is being treated. For the one for agriculture is raw, is untreated. Mm. So the two part here, source and treated. So if you're focusing on treated at the moment, yes, it's increasing, and the price. Whether the price has shifted over the years, I wouldn't say so, because it has been rather stagnant at the moment. None has ever got the increase. The latest increase maybe from the record, maybe just the one, that was in the year 2015, based on the data given back on the 2018. So as such, after 2015, there's no increase in, I would say revise, I wouldn't say increase. Revision to the water tariff has not been done, and the state that has been the longest has not been revised is Pahang back in 1983. And next, we should not forget, we have also sewerage. Sewerage has not been increased for the past 25 years. So in terms of shifted over the years, not shifted, because it has been stagnant since 2015.
Dato, what determines the price of water, actually? Here in Malaysia, but also, do we have a different way of pricing compared to maybe other countries in the world?
Slightly different, but more or less, I would say generally we are the same, but we are not paying the true price. If you look at generally the global water charges, global, we are paying about, I'm commenting, of course, you talk about global, you have to pay through US dollar. The US dollar, we are only charging about 44 cents. If you compare to our neighboring, the closest is Singapore, is $1.73. And if you look at the next, maybe I would say Hong Kong, is 94 cents. Japan is $2 per meter cube. Even Korea is paying about 63 cents. I wouldn't want to compare with Europe. They're paying more. If you look at United Kingdom, it's about $4.30 per meter cube. And it's very high. And if you talk about charging, yes, we are charging the right way. But the price is not, I mean, the rate is not applied correctly.
Ah, so that's the central question we're trying to get at today, right? Should water in Malaysia be more expensive? And what would be the merits or the positives of increasing the price of water?
I wouldn't say, again, the word is not increase. The word is user pay principle. Well, to the layman, yes, water is, I would say water is for the people. And water is almost free when it drops from the sky. But the cost is to bring the water to be treated from the river to the treatment plant and the distribution. And that is what we call the capital cost and operation cost. If you look at the distribution of the capital and operation cost, the percentage is like 28%, about 30% capital cost, 70% operational cost. When you talk operational cost, there will be energy cost, there will be chemical cost, you got the manpower cost and others. So those are the components of a percentage in water tariff. That's why it's a bit hard for people to absorb because they wouldn't understand that the difficulty in treating water, because river water change, what you can see and experience, especially in Selangor and Kuala Lumpur, we have a rampant water supply disruption, interruption because of the river quality change. You must remember when the treatment plant was designed to treat water at that point in time. River, there are four classifications, class 1, class 2, class 3, class 4. We take class 2. But when the river quality dropped to class 3, the treatment plant couldn't take it. That's why you have to shut down. You cannot treat ammonia and the rest. So that's quite a common problem. So you talk about the price of water. Yes, it is expensive if the raw water is not cheap. If you compare to the European countries, they have fully protected their water catchment area. As such, the water in terms of turbidity, this is the cloudy part, this is very suspension solid, very water, I would say cloudy, but in engineering terms, we call it NTU value. So if it's a bit cloudy, so to treat all this suspended solid, it'll be more expensive. The NTU value should be less than 5 or maybe 1. That is in a European country, but ours can shoot very high, up to 1,000. Some places can shoot up to 12,000 during heavy downfall or rainfall in the catchment area. So this is the price of water that we have to pay because of the change in the raw water quality. It's not so much of treatment. Treatment is the same, but once the raw water quality change, then the treatment will be a bit different and will be more expensive.
So, do we need new ways to calculate the value of our water?
The government has already have this, what we call tariff setting mechanism. It's only they have not, what they call, shared or announced yet. This is where NGOs like National Water Association being urging the government to at least share this information to the public so that public knows what is the tariff setting mechanism. If we apply this tariff setting mechanism to every state, then you can see what is the true value of water. And that is only for break even. We have not talked about profit. The public must know that our water industry is a regulated industry. When you say regulated, the profit margin will not be more than single digit. The maximum is about 9%. If it's more than 9%, they will adjust the KPI so that it will be protected because water is for the people. And that's how the government look at water, controlling water, and how it's being regulated to monitor the performance of water operators.
So does any part of this conversation change when we talk about industrial use, especially in terms of how water is priced?
The industrial use, okay, there are two parts of industrial use. Some industry do use water quite a lot. And again, I take example of one of the industry that use a lot of water now recently, you know, is rubber glove and also the textile. That's why government have looked at how to supply to this type of industry different type of water. If you follow the news, Indawater has already produced the effluent treated water to be supplied to this such industry. So the effluent treated water from sewage part will be given to the non-potable industry. So the price should not be much different because they're still using, depending on industry. Some industry do want a World Organization standard water, but some industry don't. They want second-grade water, just enough. So it depends on which industry that they apply for the quality of water. Some they really need the first grade, some second grade. So the price, of course, is different. As you can see from the rates given by the regulatory rate, the industrial supply to the industrial area is a bit different from the treated water. So obviously it will be different.
So we have a couple of WhatsApps actually on the same topic of water price, and they're asking how we compare when put against our developing neighboring countries like Thailand or Indonesia or Vietnam.
I guess like Singapore, I think about Singapore, they are pricing the water correctly, and you can see if I may say so. You're looking only at water. Normally, we forgot about sewerage. So in Singapore, sewerage is cost more than the water supply, and people don't realize. And even in European countries, in the developed country, for that matter to say, sewerage is more than water. But here in Malaysia, we're still struggling with water that is very, high, but quite reasonable. But what is more important is to give the awareness and education to the public to know what is the true cost of water. And that is very, very important to the industry. Otherwise, the perception of the public is increase of water rates. Actually, it's not increase. It's a revision to adjust to meet with the true value of water.
So, while we're talking about developing and the like, how does water consumption relate to a country's economic status? I mean, if we plan to move towards becoming a high-income nation, does that necessarily include using more water? Is that just the way of it?
No, that's where the public need to play their role. If you look at water consumption, we are among the highest, I would say maybe the highest compared to the rest in terms of water usage. We have used more than 200 liter per person per day. We should be striking about 170 maybe. So if you look at some states, I'm not going to say which states, there are statistic values that shows that some states are more than 200. And this is where it ties back to the perception, not perception. It's just a human behavior. If it's cheap, I use more. I can afford. So this is where the user pay principle and water conservation tariff kicks in. If you look at how Selangor did last time, 20 meter cube free, water, if you use about 20 meter cube, is free. And that is what you pay for. But if you use more than 20 meter cube, then is what we call surcharge value. And in fact, Penang is introducing that to make sure that people use the right, water for the right purposes. Otherwise, wasting the water unnecessarily in the household. Not necessary. You know, they use it for the garden, they use it for washing cars and for cleaning. If I put up the certain value here, if look at individual just now, if I say 200 liter per capita per day, basically a person what being said in that statistic in the design is a statistic to say not only design, this is proven, a person has used about 200 liter per capita per person per day. But in actual fact, a person only need about maximum 5. You got to ask yourself, how much water they consume a day? It's not even 6, not even 3 maybe. So for cooking and everything, say 5. This is for consumption. So the 195 liter is not used for your consumption. It's being used for non-potable. So that is the if you realize that. So that means if of one household, about 200 liter per person, that means 1,000. So 1,000, you only need about 35 out of 1,000, 25 liter only a day, not 1,000 liter. So you see how much value of water, if you look at, why must we treat the chlorinated water just to go for flushing? Why we need this chlorinated water just to irrigate the plant? And also for washing machine. So these are the areas, you know, we have to educate the public how to consume water. That's why in some countries, in order to educate the consumers, they start hitting the pocket. Like Singapore, they put a very high water consumption rates. Then people look at it's very expensive, they start saving. So it's always human behavior. But if it's too cheap, they will just use it because they can afford. And it's very cheap rate. So that's my take on that, because it involves education part, and this is where the government, we have really urged the government to do this, but we have to see something to be done, because you need to go for a promotion and education and a continuing education and promotion to show what is the value of water, and we share. This is about transparency. So that when consumer pays, they know what they are paying for.
Dato' Kadir, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
That was Dato' Abdul Kadir Mohamed Din, President of the Malaysian Water Association, talking to us about how we value water for World Water Day. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.